101.3 FM, KRNG Fallon, Reno, Fernley, Sparks, Nevada, and surrounding Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Ray.
Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM. And today's guest, back with us again, Highway Patrol Trooper Dan Gordon. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having me again.
Yeah,
it's always nice to get invited back. Then I know I did something right.
So, to start off, one of the things Lyon County Sheriff... Al McNeil does a regular Facebook post every week, and this week's post he mentioned that Lyon County's fatality rate and traffic fatalities is up about four times from last year. How does that fit in statewide? What do you think is causing some of that?
Well, statewide, from the latest estimates that I've seen, and I get monthly reports, we're about on track to have about the same as what we did last year. And that is not a victory in any way, shape, or form. There are certain counties that are way ahead of where they were at this point mm-hmm. last year. Lyon County, I believe Douglas County is one of them, Carson as well. And as well as there's been decreases in other counties as well throughout the state. But we're kind of trending as to about the same amount. I believe we had 330 last year statewide. And if we level off and we have about the same as we did last year, I've been asked if we consider that a victory, and that is no. I would say no on that. We'd like to see the trend go downward. We'd also like to see no more fatalities, but unfortunately, statistically, it's not possible. Our population in the state's increasing, and with that, statistically, our numbers should go up, but we're leveling off, but we want to see it on a downward trend.
Yeah. Is there any way, you mentioned the population going up, but any way to track like how traffic increasing just from people driving through that don't live here?
Well, tourism is always is a big thing here in the state of Nevada, whether they're coming here to the Reno area or passing through using 80 to go east and west through the state, or from California, or if they're coming up from Vegas or going down to Vegas or whatever. It's always a big reason for the traffic numbers. As far as fatalities go, we do have our fair share of fatalities that are from people that are out of state, but the majority of it are people that are in state. Mm-hmm. And it's I don't know if it's a trend, but it's people that are just making mistakes out on the roadway, little mistakes that are turned into bigger issues, bigger problems. One of the big ones is single vehicle crashes where somebody not paying attention, and it doesn't make a difference who it is, whether they're from Nevada or they're from out of state. They go off the roadway, and then they kind of freak out or they panic, and then they overcorrect, and next thing you know, you've got an incident where the vehicle is out of control, and they just can't regain control, and then the car overturns or something happens, and somebody's life is taken because of a small mistake that's compounded.
Now, I know you teach a lot of driver's ed courses. Is there something along that lines for that you teach drivers, you know, how to react if your car does drift off the shoulder?
Well, yeah, that's one of the things. We do bring that up a lot, and that comes up in Driver's Edge, the class that we teach. We've got another class coming, Driver's Edge, where we actually will put you into the cars. We'll put these teens into adverse situations. Very similar to that is where the car actually, the back end starts to come out, and we teach you how to regain control of the vehicle. That's kind of training that mom and dad can't give you. One of the things that we do tell when we're in a classroom setting with it, if it's a driver's ed class or any kind of a driver safety class, is, and we try to tell people not to freak out. And that's one of the things, one of the biggest issues that any driver faces, whether it's a teenager, whether it's somebody who's been driving for any number of years, is that people identify something. They see a hazard, and then they freak out or they panic, and then next thing you know, they're jerking the wheel one way, and then they're slamming on their brakes. And we always call this the deadly combination is brakes and heavy steering, or a lot of steering input, because you put the two of those together and it usually ends up to be something pretty bad.
Unfortunately, that's probably most people's first reaction when something like that happens. Slam on the brakes, jerk the wheel.
Yeah, to include just something as I don't want to say meaningless, or but something as so small as, you know, a high speed tire failure or a blowout of somebody's tire. And a lot of people think that when your tire blows out, you lose control of your car. We get this all the time on crashes where somebody will get to the scene of a crash and we'll ask them what happened, and they'll tell us that their tire blew out and that the car lost control. Well, I always tell them, well, that's what happens in the movies or TV. There's really not that much that happens in the event of a tire failure. The tire, what happens, and we'll just use an example, and I'll try to paint this picture. If your left front tire, your driver's side front tire blows out, really all that happens is that you're going to feel the steering wheel get very heavy. It's going to steer a little bit towards the left. And what happens is people freak out and they'll slam on their brakes. And now you're applying braking to one tire, not two. And then they input a lot of steering. When in actuality, all you really have to do is you have to just get off the gas, counter steer a little bit, slowly start easing into the brake, slowly. And then just make your way over to a shoulder, to a nice safe area. That's what should happen, but because people do panic and they freak out, that causes and leads to much more hazardous situations.
Yeah. Hard thing is, those are impossible, basically, to practice. Hard to simulate a tire blowing when you're learning how to drive, or, you know, even if you know how to drive, you can't really practice that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We don't practice for anything like that. We practice for ideal conditions. One of the funny things, and I think we've mentioned this before, is that parents, when they're teaching their teenagers how to drive, many of them, and this winter was a great example, because we had just a ton of bad driving situations and conditions. We had snow, we had rain. It was a mess out there. And my partner, Trooper Duncan Dauburn, and I, who teach many of these classes together, we'd get to talk to a lot of the teens. We get to talk to a lot of the parents as well, all over the state. And we asked these parents, did you take your new driver out and get him some, him or her, some experience in this stuff called snow that hopefully we haven't seen the last of. And parents, it's funny, because they'll look at us and they'll be like, no way, I'm that's crazy. I don't want to take them out in that. That's, you know, and I get it. You're nervous, but we're not asking you to take them out on, on I-80 and go 70 or 75 miles an hour in 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 inches of snow. But take them in a parking lot. Teach them what it's like to slam on your brakes in the snow, and, you know, just from low speeds, and what anti-lock brakes actually feel like. Because many of the times that people experience anti-lock brakes for the first time, it's in a bad situation. And that shouldn't be the first time that you know what that feels like.
If you'd like to join in the conversation and you have a question or a comment, you can call us here, the studio, at 775-404-1115, or type in a message on the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com if you have a question or a comment for Trooper Gordon. We're getting pretty close now, a couple months maybe, before we start getting some of that bad weather coming in. So.
Yeah, it always snows here before before Halloween. Which I love. That's one of my favorite things about this area is the weather. I mean, we get the extreme heat during the summer, and I'm from back east. I'm from Washington D.C. And Boston. So in the summertime, it's 90, 95 degrees and hot and humid. And then at night, it cools down to a reasonable 92 or 93 degrees, still humid. Well, here, the great thing is that it gets, 95 or 100 degrees here. And then at night, it's like in the 60s or something like that, or maybe the low 70s. So there's that huge swing. So I absolutely love that weather change.
But the same thing happens in the winter. It might be 50 or 60 degrees in the daytime, and you think the roads are great. and it gets dark and it's 25 and now it's frozen.
Yeah, and we have a tremendous issue with black ice and that invisible slick surface on the roadway. But, you know, again, and dare I say common sense should say that especially people that are from here should know that at anywhere on any road anywhere around here you can experience that. So you got to slow down, you got to, you know, keep your switching lanes, especially at night, down to a minimum, and you kind of just try to be as safe as possible, and you got to be ready for those situations. You got to prepare for them.
Mm-hmm. Do you the driver's edge is for student drivers, mostly probably teenagers, but do you have things to teach more experienced drivers?
Yes and no. The driver's edge is for 15 and a half. Well, you have to have your instruction permit at a minimum and all the way up to age 21. Every year we have an event down south in Las Vegas, and we have an event here in the Reno area as well, where it's the same thing as driver's edge, but we pit the new students versus the parents. So we don't have a program that's for experienced drivers or people who have their driver's license. But if you do have a teen, you can get involved and you can come out to get this training during the spring. And I believe it's this year we had it in June here in Reno at the Regional Training Center up there off of Dandini Par area. And I believe we're going to have it again in the next year, late spring, early summer as well.
Last time you were on, we were talking a lot too about construction projects, and hopefully we're getting close to the end of the season and USA Parkway is going to open up later this month, but how has that gone?
Well, construction's always that's kind of a little tricky thing because and we've been fortunate enough around here where a lot of the construction projects were finishing up, like the interchange down there in Carson where 580 and 50 West meet. We just kind of saw the tail end of that. We didn't have too much effect from it because it was all new. But we do have construction going on on 80, 395, 580 here in town. The USA Parkway project doesn't really affect anything because it's not a work on an existing roadway. It's a brand new roadway. So that doesn't really have an effect. However,
roundabout over there on 50
on 50, yeah, that's I was just getting ready to
I
say
that there was a crash there not too long ago.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest issues that we see are people that need to get used to any alteration in any kind of traffic pattern that they're used to. You know, they fear change, or people fear change, and that's one of them, is that roundabout there on 50 where the new interchange with USA Parkway mm-hmm. is going to happen. I believe it is, yeah, it's at the end of the month. It is
Next 26th or 28th.
Yeah, next week, right?
The ribbon cutting, and then I'm not sure when they actually open it up for traffic.
I believe that that same day is when the traffic is open mm-hmm. for the roadway is open for regular traffic. Woohoo!
Have you seen when a new project opens, like the Carson City Freeway? Is there like a huge influx of traffic all of a sudden in a place that there wasn't before? Does it alter patterns and cause problems?
Yes and no. I mean, we do a great job, and NDOT does just a phenomenal job of putting it out there, the information out there, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, on the news, radio, whatever it is, about any kind of changes that are coming up. They just do a phenomenal job. But again, and I kind of go back to what I said a couple minutes ago, when people have some sort of change in something that they've done for so long, 580 and 50, that interchange in Carson is a good example, because people are so used to going straight northbound to get to Fairview and then take Fairview to get onto 580 and go north towards Reno. And then what we're seeing for a little bit of time, and it's kind of subsided a little bit, is that people are now remembering that they need to get all the way to the right so that they can get onto the new interchange and they don't have to go all the way to Fairview. So they have to alter their driving pattern a little bit. Sometimes they're over in the left lane and they forget and they remember last second. And we kind of know what happens when people do things last second, especially when they're trying to change lanes.
So I'm visiting with Trooper Gordon from the Nevada Highway Patrol. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 404-1115 or chime in on the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com, and we'll be right back after this.
Follow the conversation on our chat box at www.biggestlittleradio.com. 101.3 Biggest Little. Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Gray.
Everybody, Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM, and I'm talking with Highway Patrol Trooper Dan Gordon. So if you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 404-1115, or go to the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com. Have you been on Interstate 80 between 6 and 7 in the morning or 6 and 7 at night?
I have. Over, you're talking about like specifically over here by like USA Parkway?
USA Parkway.
No comment. Wow. Yeah, it's a mess, and it's just going to get worse. The amount of traffic and the amount of commerce that's going over there on the USA Parkway, it's incredible. I mean, it probably, up until about, I think, December or January, it had probably been a few years before I had been out there. And I drove out there, and I was like, wow. It is. I mean, 5 years, it's a long time, but even over the last couple of years, it has been, I mean, the growth out there is unbelievable. And like I said, it's just going to get, I don't want to call it worse, but more congested. And hopefully when USA Parkway, the full extension opens up over towards Silver Springs on US 50, that'll ease some of the congestion. Mm-hmm. But I think the most part, most people are coming from up and down 80.
Yeah. And oftentimes, you know, right at that peak time, the traffic waiting to get off the freeway will be backed up sometimes a couple of miles.
Yeah, and I believe, and I will go and speak with NDOT on this, Meg Raganese, who's the public information officer for Nevada Department of Transportation. I'd speak with her regularly, and I would get an update, and I believe that there are plans. I think there may even be emergency plans. I'll have to find out that they're going to be doing some improvements to that area, to that interchange there. And it's important. I'm not sure why it's taken so long. We all knew that this was coming, but, you know, bureaucratic red tape and stuff like that, I'm sure, kind of got in the way. Yeah. But from the last I heard, there are some plans to make some improvements, to make the off ramps and the on ramps and stuff like that a lot easier, and to relieve some of that congestion.
I know one of the projects is to make the the off ramp two lanes, which will, you know, help disperse that a little bit. But still, as soon as you get off, you have to. There's a stop sign right there. So
yeah, and I think that is probably the biggest issue, is when you get off 80 onto USA Parkway. What happens up there on USA Parkway seems to be one of the biggest issues that we face up there. One of the other things that that we do see a lot, and this is every single morning, and we do have crashes there all the time, and then secondary crashes from the backups. Patience, you know, and I can't say this enough, that people have to have patience. It's not like you're getting on the highway and going, you know, from your house, wherever it is, Fernley, Fallon, Carson, Reno, whatever it is, and you're going to USA Parkway. You know there's going to be congestion. It's not like when you get, you know, balled up in traffic there, you're like, wow, I can't believe there's traffic here. That just doesn't happen. Everybody knows that there's traffic. Just plan accordingly. You know, some people, and this is kind of one of my pet peeves a little bit, is when people, they get up in the morning and I'm sometimes guilty of this as well. I try not to do it. But what people do is they'll get up, they'll give themselves the bare amount of time, the bare minimum, get up, get ready, get something to eat, grab their coffee, get in their car, start driving to work so that they can get to work with just enough time so that they're not late. And that's, you know, that's just poor planning. And what ends up happening is that you get bogged down, you get in traffic, some congestion, then you're running late, and then you start making decisions in a car that are not the greatest and the best of decisions, like cutting in and out of lanes, tailgating, not paying attention, road rage, aggression. All this stuff happens because people are either not, they don't have any patience, or they're trying to make up time somewhere. You're not going to make up any time in traffic. I mean, a second here or there. But all you're doing is running the risk of getting into some sort of a crash. And then not only are you going to be late for work, you're going to get into a crash, you're going to have repairs, your insurance is going to go up. If it's your fault, you're going to get a ticket. All these things add up, and then people just don't, and then they get mad. Well, I mean, you can kind of help solve your own problem by leaving 15 minutes earlier or 20 minutes earlier, whatever, and giving yourself that gap, that cushion, so that you don't have to rush in the morning.
Related to the idea of the projects there at USA Parkway, does NDOT, does the Highway Patrol have much input as far as telling NDOT, you know, this is what we're seeing and this is what we need?
NDOT, they're like my parents. I give them suggestions and they do what they want to do anyway. Okay. No, I'm totally kidding. No, NDOT, and they've got a fantastic set of engineers that are all working on improvements and stuff like that. And do they take into account stuff that we say? Yes, but then they start doing studies and stuff like that as well. So those studies include talking to the Highway Patrol about what we think would alleviate the problem. Sometimes they'll take our suggestions. Sometimes it's not so much a law enforcement thing. It's an engineering standpoint. So we're not always, we don't always have the best solution as far as the Highway Patrol. But they do, yeah, they ask us for our input. They ask us for our help. What would be better? What would be worse? Stuff like that. So we are in constant contact with the Nevada Department of Transportation so that we can make the improvements and make it good for everybody and safer for everybody, because that's the ultimate goal.
Do you guys ever point out trouble spots to them? Because, I know, like, the same thing here, that there's been a couple of different things here in the city that the city approached NDOT and, we'd like you to do this or...
Yeah, especially when they cause hazards. A lot of times, because we are out on the road every single day, we're traveling and driving on the pavement every single day, and we get to see the things like dips in the roadway or something that could cause some sort of an issue. We'll forward that to NDOT and they'll take appropriate measures from there. But yeah, we're in constant contact. I get troopers that will contact me because they know that I talk with NDOT all the time, and we'll pass along information and anything that we can do to make those roads safer. Absolutely. The bare minimum we can do is just pass it along and let NDOT make the determination if something can be done. I mean, because that's ultimately, can it be done is probably one of the questions that needs to be asked. We talk to them all the time, and we're constantly making them aware of any kind of hazard or issue that may make the roads more dangerous, or ways that we can improve it and make it more safe.
One of the things I wanted to ask you today was if you wanted to just give out any traffic safety tips, but one specific one that's on my mind, and you mentioned it last time you were here, but it's one of my pet peeves, and I saw it again this morning, and there's been some discussion on one of the Facebook groups here, but drivers who travel in the left lane do not get over, and they may be going the speed limit or sometimes even slightly below, but they're traveling in the left lane.
Right. Well, it's important to remember, one, as of July 1st, one, you may not drive in the left lane below the posted speed limit. And that's under certain circumstances. That's, we're talking a nice clear day. There's no traffic. The roads are dry. It's warm, whatever. But under ideal conditions, a day like today, yeah, you're not allowed to drive in the left lane below the posted speed limit. That's what the law says. However, let's talk about which that law falls under. We'll talk about the impeding law. And basically, I'm going to kind of step aside from the law real quick, and I'm going to talk about common sense and safety and why. One of the things that we always kind of preach a little bit is if you look in your rearview mirror, side view mirrors, when you do happen to use them, and you're in the left lane and you see a car behind you that wants to go faster than you, you should get out of their way. I know that people say, well, I'm going the speed limit and I'm going to stop this guy from speeding and, I'll show him or her whatever it is. What that does is it ends up, the person who's behind you, it is just starting to get very aggressive. They're starting to get very angry, and then we have a road rage incident. And that's one of the biggest issues that we have. Road rage starts there in that left lane. Somebody wants to go faster than you, you should just be courteous, move over, and let them go. Because what ends up happening is you're not going to let them go. They're going to pass you on the right. And then when they get just past the front of your car, they're so angry, they're amped up, they're going to cut you off. And next thing you know, we've got the start of what could be a really nasty crash, especially at highway speeds. Get out of their way. Don't become part of a road rage incident. If you think that that person is being very aggressive, you can always pick up the phone, dial 911 or star NHP and report those drivers to us. That's where we come in and we'll take care of those aggressive drivers. But overall, if someone's behind you and they want to go faster than you, just, you know what, just get out of their way and let them go by.
But what if you are the driver behind and the guy in front of you is blocking that lane?
Patience.
And I know you said it specifically last week or last time you were here that you do not want drivers passing on the right. So
no.
for those drivers, when it's somebody's blocking you, what's...
First and foremost, take a couple of deep breaths, because like I said, those are the people that are very, very, very amped up, and they start getting really, really angry and agitated. Back off, because a lot of times, and this is probably everybody's experienced this, the old brake check, you know, and that's, brake checking is illegal, okay? You're supposed to use your brakes to slow or stop, not to warn somebody that they're on your bumper. Back up, leave plenty of room between you and the car in front of you, and then just, and wait. You know, some people just will not monitor their mirrors. They're just not looking. Some people may just not get out of your way because they don't want to. At that point, take a couple of deep breaths, relax, and just, you know what, it is what it is. But don't get aggressive and try to pass them and prove a point.
Any other safety points that you'd just like to bring up?
Yeah, and I say this all the time, and I'm really big on seatbelts. If you're not wearing your seatbelt properly, you're putting yourself in harm's way. A properly worn seatbelt, that's snug across your shoulders, snug across your hips. Don't put it underneath your arm. Put the shoulder belt under your arm. Don't put it behind you. If you're in the back seat and you want to sleep, don't take your seatbelt off and lay down. You're going to have to sleep, but again, in the upright position. Seatbelt snug across your shoulder, snug across your hips. That's the only way to wear your seatbelt, and it will increase your chance of survival and perhaps getting hurt in a crash.
The same way along those lines, what about child safety seats?
Child safety seats, if you have a child safety seat, it is important that you make sure that seat is in there correctly. It's not so simple as just to go to Walmart or Kmart or Target or whatever it is and buy one of these seats and then put it in. There's more to it. There's a certain way that you put these seats in, and then there's a certain way that your child has to be in that seat. Call EMS, call the fire stations around here, the ambulance service. If you're in Reno, you can call REMSA, and they have certified install technicians that will not only help you install your seat, but will show you how to install it so that your seat's incorrectly, the child seat's incorrectly, and your child is in that seat correctly. They're two different parts.
All right. Well, it's been a great conversation and some great information. We're just down right to the end. So any last minute comments?
Nope. I want everybody to be safe and have a great rest of your summer. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This has been the Rural Report on Big Acito Radio 101.3 FM with Highway Patrol Trooper Dan Gordon. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday.